Welcome to the program, everyone. My name is Stuart Takahara. I'm the Vice President of Membership here at the Chamber. And I want to introduce to you our special guest today, Chris Gregson from Local Lens AI. Chris, welcome to The Catalyst.
Thank you, Stuart. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So today, our topic is how AI is changing local search and what small businesses need to know about it. Okay. So before we dive into that real quick, let's give a little bit of time to you, Chris. What is it that you do? Why exactly are you the best person that we should be listening to about this subject?
Okay, well, I've had my company since 2010, and I specialize in local search. And I've been kind of in this industry, you know, for the last, 16 years. And I've always prided myself on staying ahead of the curve and what's new and what's coming. And with AI in the last year, has completely changed search, you know, on its head. It's completely new. Yeah. And I have spent a ton of time studying and learn, reading, studying and everything and implementing and experimenting with AI and seeing what works and what doesn't work. And I kind of, seeing what the writing on the wall of what is it the future of search and how people are going to interact and stuff compared to what all my experience of the last 15 years with local SEO and things in that whole playbook and what needs to change.
So let's start here. There was a time when the internet just started coming out and things were tagged with like search engine optimization, keywords, hashtags, all this kinds of stuff. You looked at like adding backlinks. I think anybody who's ever owned a web or run a website or a business, you probably heard those terms before in previous seminars or webinars, all these things, right? Like I just mentioned, that was then. And you're saying that we're kind of moving into a different era now?
A completely different era. Okay. So it used to be all about those 10 blue links, right? We stuffed our websites with the right keywords. We had to have the right, title tag, meta description, and H1 tag all had to have that keyword. But people aren't searching in short little phrases anymore. No one's putting in best plumber. They're actually having, best plumber Long Beach. That you, I want to optimize my website for that. So I put best plumber Long Beach here, here, and here. And hopefully, the Google gods will look kind on me and I'll hit that first page, right? But no one's actually just doing that. They're actually having conversations. They're using AI as more of like an assistant, like a personal assistant, and having a lot more conversations than just putting out little quick phrases.
Right. So because of that, people are talking to Google differently. That's why you're saying that these little keywords and hashtags and H1 headlines don't matter as much?
Not as much. And one statistic that's really staggering is in 2025, not even in 2026, 55% of all searches ended with no click. So
say that one more time. Yeah, say that one more time. I think that's an important statistic right there.
55%, almost 56%. I think it was like 55.5% of searches ended with no clicks, no further clicks. So let that sit in. More than half the people searching didn't click when they got their search results.
Right. So I go to Google and I type in something and I'm searching for something. The old way was, here's this website. I'm going to click on that website. It'll take me to that site. Then I can get the information that I need and then I'm done. But now you're saying there's not even that click because AI is giving the answer.
Now they have its AI overview that actually when you search something or have a question, the AI overview comes up in search and answers your question. And so we're not striving as a small business anymore to come on the first page and hunt for those 10 blue links. We're striving to be the answer. We want to be the cited answer in that query. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And that's going to change a lot because it sounded like even the PPC, the pay-per-click model and advertising and sponsorships is going to be affected in this way too.
Oh, AI is going to affect pay-per-click marketing for sure. It's also going to affect apps. Because right now apps are kind of like mini little AI agents, right? All the apps on your phone, they all have their little job. But the way AI is going now, think of it as like one app that's a super app that can do everything. So why would you have 20 different apps on your phone that have all the little jobs when you could just have one app that does everything? Kind of think of like Jarvis from Iron Man.
And that's really the key. So we've all been trained in the past. I mean, when we even say like 1 year ago, get on the top search results, get those links, get the paid ads, get up on top. You know, get your SEO right, get your all these other, get all that stuff done. Now, is it still going to be important? Because isn't AI still pulling data from websites to get their answers?
So you have to think of your website as a information hub for AI to pull from. And that's why it's so important nowadays to have schema markup on all your pages of your website, because schema markup is kind of a code that AI likes, because AI likes to do things fast. So they rather, you know, they don't want to have to like deduct or something. If you have the right code on there that's kind of behind the scenes and it tells them, hey, we're a local business. Our hours are Monday through Friday, 10 to 5. This is our phone number. These are the areas we serve or something like that. And then you have like a FAQ and they're like, here are our frequently asked questions. And it kind of listed all in there. And it's all kind of embedded in the website through schema markup. If you are doing any kind of digital marketing at all, it is imperative that your marketer is doing schema markup on all your websites.
Okay, so let's go back a little bit. So I'm a small business owner. I have a website. Maybe I'm hosting it through WordPress. Maybe it's a Squarespace site or something like that. Mm-hmm. Schema markup, go back and explain what that is. How do I get it? And is it something that an amateur can do? Or is there a specialist that needs to be able to add this in?
I mean, with AI now, you know, if you prompt it right, it will walk you through it. So that's the beauty of that. For WordPress, which is probably the most popular CMS out there, for, you know, anywhere. I like to use Rank Math Pro, which is the plugin. I like to upgrade it to the pro version because then it allows you to put in custom schema, and that's the easiest way. And it's literally, you can use Claude or Gemini or ChatGPT to kind of create the code for you. And then you just cut and paste it into the Rank Math plugin. They do have in the Rank Math plugin some set things like services and I think a couple other like FAQs and stuff like that, that you can just kind of click a button and it will automatically insert the code. So it makes it super easy. I like to customize it a little more myself and just make sure I'm, you know, getting it 100% accurate. And then what you do is on the plugin itself, or you can just go to this page. Google has a site that validates to make sure that your code is working correctly.
I think it's funny you said go to ChatGPT or go to Claude or Gemini and ask it to write the schema or ask it to you know, create. So you're using the AI tools to be discovered by AI.
Yeah, 100%.
It can be
extremely helpful. I use the AI tools to write the prompts for me sometimes. Yeah. I'll say, hey, this is what I want to do. Write me the best prompt possible. And then I take the prompt and say, okay, now execute it.
Yeah.
Another way to too is say, ask me, you know, write the prompt and then ask me 10 questions about this to make it even better. And you know, those are some little tricks that we do to make it. Because the more information the AI has, the better it can serve you, whether it's writing an email, a website page, or code. And you just have to tell it all the parameters that you're doing.
You know, I'm glad that you mentioned schema, because when I was doing some research for this, it said AI just wants the data. It doesn't care about the colors or the graphics or the images. Yeah. Or any of the other stuff we as humans like would say, oh, wow, that's a really cool website.
Right.
You know, the AI people that are reading this, they don't care about that. They just are like, give me the text in an orderly, organized fashion that I can read. And that's what schema does. It basically takes a website and turns it into computer talk, for lack of a better term.
Now, schema is an important step that cannot be skipped, but that's not the only step. You know, like you said, the graphics and the color and the pictures, that's all great for humans, but for AI, they don't care as much. Although AI can, you know, look at a picture and tell you what it is, look at a graph now, look at a video, you know, and understand it. But some of the other things that, you know, when you're trying to get recommended by AI or AI overview and search, is certifications are huge. Chamber, being part of the chamber, having a little chamber, you know, logo at the bottom, and then linking it to your actual place in the directory is a huge signal saying that you're a credit. Better Business Bureau is an old one that, you know, we use a lot. You know, having, you know, if you're like an electrician or a plumber, you know, there's certain certifications that you have that would, you know, you want to put that on your actual website, your contractor's number, and then have it linked, say, you know, verify my my license and then have it linked back to your to the directory where they have your information. So all of that is crucial. You know, you're really trying to build, I can't remember the acronym. I know parts of it. I had it written down in my back office, but basically you want to have one of the parts of the acronym is authority. And so providing all those credentials, certifications and stuff is you're communicating to the AI, which, you know, is pretty much just Google and the spiders, and you're communicating to them that you have that authority by, hey, look at this certification I have. Look at, you know, I'm in this group, I'm in that group. You know, that provides local authority, you know, compared to someone, you know, you're looking at your competitors and what they have on their website. So that's a big part of it.
So, you know, you mentioned one word there, you said signals, and I see that all the time. I'm seeing this big buzzword like AI trust signals or AI signals. Is that what you're referring to, or is that something
that's
different?
Part of it. So yes, a certification is a big signal. Another one is social proof, and you get that through reviews. And, you know, we used to think, well, I have to get a certain amount of reviews and or more reviews than my competitors, then I'll be okay. But what we're finding out now is it's not so much how many reviews you have, it's how consistently you're getting reviews. And are you responding to those reviews? And do those reviews have details about them? Like, instead of just like a 5-star and say, they did a great job, thanks. They said, you know, they give a 5-star and goes, the plumber came out and replaced my hot water heater. They did a fantastic job. Now I have a tankless hot water heater. I'm so happy with it. Highly recommend it. They're actually describing a service, and that goes miles because AI is actually going through and reading all the reviews and then saying, oh, okay, they do tankless water heaters. Okay. And they've done that like 6 times in the past, you know, month or whatever. So they're like, okay, when someone's asking for a tankless water heater expert, we're going to put them at the top of the recommendation.
I know a lot of companies would say, hey, give us a 5-star review, review us on Google, review us on Yelp or whatever. Most of the time, and I think we as consumers who do that regularly are used to saying, great environment, friendly staff, fast service. But now maybe the ask of businesses should be different, is, you know, as far as, hey, if you go on to review us, please mention this, because that's
the more detailed a review, the better. Almost like, you know, some of the Amazon reviews where they kind of get a little crazy with the stories about their products. But, you know, that would work for local businesses, is the more detail they give them. And then pictures are huge, too. If they actually take a picture of the service or something or the food or whatever the business is, all that really helps the business.
You know, we're talking with Chris Gregson. He's a owner of Local Lens AI here in Long Beach, also the president of the Chamber Small Business Council. So we're talking about how AI is changing local search and what businesses need to do about it. We talked about schema. We talked about making sure that your social media reviews and stuff like that are updated. What other things do we need to start to look at in terms of making sure that we're getting ranked or recommended by AI?
Your Google business profile is huge. So making sure, you know, a lot of business owners go back, you know, they set it up in 2022 and they haven't touched it since. And that's going to send the wrong signal to the AI. So you need to go in there. You need to make sure everything's filled out completely. You need to make sure that you're updating the pictures. You know, some say best practice is once a week in a new picture. Some say, I say at least once a month, a couple new pictures showing your work, getting regular reviews, depending on the business. Like if you're a restaurant, you should be getting, you know, a couple reviews, you know, a day probably. But if you're like a commercial contractor, maybe it's one or two a month. But for whatever your industry, whatever you do, it needs to be consistent. And then you need to be trying to answer those reviews within 24 hours. You want to answer them quickly and go into detail when you answer, not just thanks for the 5-star review. You know, thank you. We're so happy to help you with your blah, 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 you know, and we're glad to help you again. So you want to be a little more detailed in your responses.
I'm used to like social media, like we need to be active on social media. We need to post X number of times a week. We need to get this and that. Never occurred to me that we should be thinking of Google business or my, you know, my Google business profile as a social media outlet.
It does have a post feature on there, and you should be, you know, some people do it 3 times a week. My best practice is at least once a week. It's nice because you can actually schedule it out within the back end. So you can sit there one day, schedule out your posts. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. In fact, you can have AI help you write out the content if you prompt it right. It's all about the prompts, though, people. Don't get lazy on the prompts. The smaller the prompt, the worse it's going to be. So make sure you research your prompts. But, you know, and then having pictures. Usually you just want small little couple sentences, any kind of discount or like update that you want to do. Those are all great. Events, anything like that is great for post.
You mentioned don't be cheap on the prompts. Like, don't use this. What is it? What is? Can you give an example of what a good prompt would look like versus like a bad prompt on a small business?
Well, a bad prompt would be just like one or two sentences and being broad. A good prompt to me, I actually usually ask the AI to help me write the prompt first, and then I have it executed. A good prompt is probably at least a page long in content. And then I usually verify it too by asking, say, hey, ask me 10 more questions to make this even better.
Page long prompt is what you're using to establish a baseline for your updates on Google Business. Is that, did I get that right?
Yeah, because I'll have it go and research. For example, when I'm researching blog topics for my clients, because that's another thing that's huge for AI is having the right blogs. And you want your blogs to be positioned with answering questions, asking the right question and answering it. And so how do we find those questions? So I trained an AI model to go to Answer the Public. And then there's like six more that are pretty much the same as Answer the Public. And it's basically, these are websites that where it kind of takes all the questions that people are asking on the internet. And it kind of shows you by volume, how many people ask that question, right? So I have it automatically in this prompt go and research all the topics for depending on what client I'm working with. Then they come back with those topics, and then I use it to actually build out the blog, the question and answer, because, you know, it's not SEO anymore. It's called AEO, answer engine optimization, because that's really what you're doing.
Yeah. Before you were optimizing to be found in search. Now you're optimizing to be the answer to the question, right?
Yes.
And the more detailed the question, the more users start becoming more familiar with ChatGPT or Claude or whatever, Gemini, they're going to start asking more specific questions.
That's kind of where we're at right now. You know, the early 2026, there's a thing called OpenClaw that just dropped that everybody in the tech community is kind of going a little bananas over. And it's the first kind of like, it's kind of like how I said before, Jarvis and Iron Man. It's the first kind of like autonomous AI agent that kind of thinks for itself. Mm-hmm. And I really see, I mean, it's already mind-blowing what it can do. But as we progress in the year, I feel like, especially in 2027, we're going to see more and more of that. It's going to explode. So it's not only you have to optimize to be the answer for someone on, say, ChatGPT asking a question. You have to optimize to be for that AI agent that's asking, going out and asking that question. I mean, it's right now you can ask it, say, go book me a flight to Hawaii and a hotel, and it will go out and find the information and do all that for you. But the question is, how do we become like one of those hotels that the AI agent is actually going to recommend? Yeah, best practice for websites now that I've been implementing on all my clients is we've been actually putting little FAQs at the bottom of each page, especially like service pages. So you have your standard service page of what you do, and then you would put like maybe anywhere from 3 to 6 FAQs at the bottom of that page.
I remember back in the day, websites were just stuffed with keywords, like at the bottom. I'm thinking like a tire place, like where you go get new tires or whatever, or they'll do wheel alignments and balancing and stuff like that. And they would write down Michelin, Goodyear, yada, yada. They just hope to be found. That doesn't apply anymore. Those rules kind of gone out the window. Huh?
Yeah, it's not so much about keywords. It's more about having that, the content on your site needs to be kind of in a discussion base, like question and answer base, like you would with, like if you're telling someone, you know, you're having conversation base. So when you're having conversation with someone and you're telling them about what your business does, not just, because people are not searching and just phrases anymore. They're actually going in major details when they're actually asking AI to look for something.
So do we need to do a complete redesign of a website? Because now we're looking at the AEO, the answer engine optimization, or design for AI to be read, because search isn't as important anymore? Or can we just slowly change the website? Or do we need to kind of start from the ground up and say, we're going to design this site with AI in mind?
I don't think you need to like throw the baby out with the bathwater kind of thing with the with the website. I think it just needs some tweaks. A lot of the stuff that we were doing in local SEO matters when it comes to AI. I mean, schema markup is not something brand new. That's a best practice in SEO. It just has a lot more weight now than it did before because AI is really looking at that. And for example, on your Google business profile, the descriptions, not the description, but the services, a lot of people don't know that you can actually go, you know, you list all your services, but you can go in there and write a little paragraph about describing what the service is. You know, it didn't carry a lot of weight before, but now it carries a lot more weight because AI is actually reading all that now. So that's something too, when you're optimizing your Google business profile, fill out everything because AI reads it, sees all pretty much. That was saying like one of the old practices that we used to do 10 years ago was citations. And citations are like, well, Google business profile is the biggest one, but then you have like Yelp, Bing, Facebook, Best of the Web, Hot Frog, and there's a million others that you never heard of, right? And so having your, they call it your NAP, your business name, address, and phone number, 100% accurate across all these citations was important. And then as we moved on, it wasn't as important, but now it's went full circle. And with AI again, it's important again. So it's always changing what's important and what's not. But a lot of the stuff that we do for SEO translates to AEO.
Too. Remember back, schema was used to get the rich formatting, you know, when you like are doing a search, it shows up on the, like I think of recipes, you know, and I want a recipe for, I don't know, it's cold outside, chicken noodle soup. And it would actually show up on one, but that was based off the schema too, right? That was kind of that same technology that.
That's why we would use it mainly is so that it would show up in the sentence like that. Yes.
Recently, ChatGPT just announced that they were going to start selling ads in their results for people who weren't on a paid plan. Is that a good thing, bad thing? How is that going to change anything?
I think it's interesting. I mean, obviously they have to monetize it somehow. I mean, they do have the paid version, you know, and a lot of people, you know, it's not that much. I think it's only like $20 a month. So a lot of people do jump on the paid version. But, you know, everything eventually gets ads, right? I'm interested to see how good the conversions will be off those ads, you know, for my clients. So I'm excited to try it out and experiment with it because it's something new. But, you know, it's, and then also, you know, I personally go through and have like full on huge conversations, debates with my AI models. And so they have a lot of information about me. My wife is a little more cautious about that stuff, what she puts in it. I kind of is like, you know, who wants to know about my stuff anyway? So I just kind of like let it go. But all of that's data and they can use that for the ads. So it'd be really interesting to see what ads, you know, Google does the same thing. They really try to personalize the ads. And so with the amount of data and conversations that people are having with AI, I think that the ads would get really super personalized too.
Yeah, I've never had a problem with ads because I was always interested to seeing what it would give me based off of what I was searching, or even I always joke, it's like it's listening to me because you can be having this weird conversation. Next thing you know, there's an ad about it.
Right.
I don't know exactly how that works.
Same thing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if they're really doing that or not, but it's just coincidental how sometimes it is, you know. So we gave a lot of tips about being found locally. Is this some of the same tips that we could be using if like there's a Long Beach based business here, but let's say they're home based, they don't have a physical presence, they're more of an online kind of a organization. Are they still playing by the same rules or is there a different strategy for online based organizations?
Which is your online based? Are you talking like e-commerce? Or are you talking like...
Yeah, it's just, you know, maybe they don't have like an address. They're a home-based business. Maybe they're a bookkeeper or something like that, or a CPA. They work from home. They, you know, they don't have a physical presence, but they're still kind of just a Long Beach local.
A lot of it's the same. You know, if you, you know, obviously it's a little different from e-commerce and stuff. That's a little more driven through social media, but they have said AI is crawling Google Shop. So if you are doing e-commerce, you definitely need to be on Google Shop. Because it is crawling that for sure for recommendations. For service-based businesses, it's pretty much the same. Do want to, blogs are huge. Posting a blog like once a week, getting really specific on the, you know, if I was in Long Beach and I was doing and I wanted to rank for Long Beach, or if I was even in Lakewood and I wanted to rank for Long Beach, whatever, I would get really specific. like talk about Belmont Shore, Belmont Hyatts, Bixby Knolls, you know, little landmarks, you know, the Aquarium of the Pacific, Shoreline Village, you know, stuff like that in your blog.
Yeah, you're talking about in your blogs because that's going to create those reference points, right?
Yes.
So I've heard that we talked about how AI is crawling your website. It's checking your website. It's checking your Google profile. It's looking for these consistencies, looking for these rankings and the score, the signals, the AI signals. But I've heard that there are problems with certain websites that are behind a paywall or behind like Cloudflare or something like that, like behind some sort of firewall. A lot of us put these protections on our website to prevent spam and stuff like that. Is that an issue? Like, do we have to sacrifice the integrity of the website and open it up to?
It was more of an issue a couple months ago. I think a lot of the hosting companies like SiteGround and GoDaddy and Bluehost and whatnot, they're kind of catching on that they don't. Can't have this, or even Cloudflare, that they can't have this barrier because the way, I mean, this is the craziest thing that's happened to the internet since the search engine was invented.
Right.
So the way we search and everything that happened is going to completely change. And I don't think people understand it fully yet, but for someone that's on the front lines all the time, I mean, even the last 6 weeks, my mind is blown of how fast the technology is moving and what it can do and what it can't do. I'm working on some crazy projects right now with AI agents and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But that being said, you can call up your hosting company and say, hey, look, I don't want to have anything blocking AI bots, and they will listen to you. But a lot of them are, you know, I heard that was, you know, some people had to do that, you know, several months ago, but I feel like they're all the hosting companies and whatnot are understanding that they can't do that and they don't want, because they want, you know, if you're a local service or a business or e-commerce or whatever, they want you to be successful, because if you're not successful, you're not going to use their service, right?
All of this sounds like it's science fiction. It sounds like, you know, how can I do this? I remember there was this one time I had an owner's manual for one of my reviews. It was like this thick. And I just took it, uploaded it, and I said, here's the problem I'm having. Tell me how to fix it. And just like that, it said on page 130, whatever, you know, your fuse panel is located here and change this and that. So AI does take all this information really fast, put it together and reason to figure out the answer. It's really giving you that answer that you're looking for without links, without clicks, without any of that kind of, you know, without any of that. So that's why this is becoming so important nowadays, and not just in this. So what other things can local businesses do? Like, I'm thinking, can a restaurant upload its menu to be read through Google? Can it be their services page, marketing brochures or flyers being put on things? I'm just trying to think of what else a local small business owner could be doing to help become that answer that people are looking for.
I mean, having a restaurant's a little interesting. I mean, having consistent reviews on the restaurant, posting your specials on Google Business Listing, having a good website with a clear menu, and then having the schema markup on there so that they can pull from that really easy. And then just kind of cross-referencing everything in your citations and stuff. Like, if I was a restaurant right now, I'd go heavy after any of the best of Long Beach stuff. You know, the Press Telegram, Beachcomber. I think there's like six of them that do best of Long Beach. I would try to win some of those because AI is going to pay attention to that. Getting in the top Yelp's top 10 list, I see AI pulling from that a lot too. So being in the top 10 of Yelp is big. I'm newly a Yelp agency partner. And so that was one of the first things I asked them when I got a call with them. I was like, how do my clients get into this top 10 thing? Find out, you know, just what's the best practices? Because I want to know, you know, is it just reviews? Or like, what is it? You know, so
what is it? Or can you not say
it? I don't know yet.
Oh, you don't know yet.
I just had that meeting yesterday. So I'll let you know once I find out.
Chris, as we start to wrap up here, biggest question, I've always said, like, this is going to be Skynet. Like, they've already got like things, like, have you ever watched Terminator recently? We're living in that day, you know, pretty much right now, with Tesla robots walking around building things, and we're pretty much there. How many more days until the end of the world, until AI just takes over? Like, seriously, we're moving at such a fast pace, you know.
We're definitely moving from the digital age to the AI age, and that's for sure. And it's you know, I was talking to an AI expert at Rotary a couple months back, and I said it's going to be really interesting in the next presidential election, because AI videos are going to be so good, we're not going to be able to tell apart what's fake and what's not. Mm-hmm. Especially like, and that's video and photographs. But as far as the question really is, when is AI going to become into super intelligence? And that's, you know, that's kind of crazy. I don't know how long that's going to take. AI has already surprised me in how fast it moves. But mm-hmm. when it reaches that, it'll be kind of like, oh, I have a little fish in a little aquarium over here.
Yeah.
And I kind of look at AI super intelligence as like, I would be the beta fish and then AI is outside taking care of me and driving and doing all these things. And all I know is just kind of circling around this little fishbowl and when to eat and stuff. And that's the intelligence gap. It's kind of like when you look like an ant or something, it's going to be so far more intelligent than us that we won't even be able to comprehend what it's doing.
Yeah. You know, that old adage, seeing is believing, that doesn't apply anymore because seeing is not believing. And when you see something, they always say, what is that saying? If it's too good to be true, probably is.
Right.
Now it's going to be like, if you see it and it's just too perfect, or if it's just too whatever, or too out of context, it's probably not real.
Right.
As societies, humans need to, again, kind of just change what our believability factor is, I guess. I don't even know what to call it.
Right.
But, you know, at first it was like, oh, wow, that's cool. But now we need to be really, really skeptical. We're like, wait a minute, is that real? Like, would they really do that? Would they really say that? Would that, you know, or something? Because it is crazy. And not just for other people. I've seen ads on my feeds where I could just upload a photo and in an audio sample, and I can just write prompts and it'll create a whole video just based off of me, you know, to be able to spread out more content and be more of an influencer that way if you wanted to do that. But yeah, it's not just other people, but it's ways of being able to clone yourself too.
Yes. And how they could clone your voices now too. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's a crazy world that we're living in, but you know, the one thing I always say about at least like the chamber, you know, a click, you know, doesn't replace a handshake, you know, there's nothing else that you can do to be in a room with people and actually see them, you know, in real life. So to say, Chris, this is a tremendous thing. We're recording this podcast. We're doing it live here in February of 2026. I'm sure if we met again in March or April of 2026,
there's going to be a whole new wave.
Yeah, there's going to be a whole new wave. So with these things, my last question here, with the changing so much, you got to get started right now, because otherwise you're going to be left behind. You have to start now. What would you say is the first thing that somebody who hasn't done any of this, what's the first thing that they should be doing? What's the first thing they should be looking at?
Get a system for getting reviews on a consistent basis. I can't really say one. There's a bunch of stuff you do, but the top three, I'll go top three.
Okay, let's do
reviews on a consistent basis and answer those reviews. Get schema markup on your website and get that dialed in, and get FAQs on your website. If you don't do those three things, you know, and make sure your Google business profile is fully optimized, but you do those things, you'll be ahead of people that don't.
Yeah.
But you have to think, the competition now has really changed, because it used to be 10 blue links that we're striving for. Now it could be one answer, this one person, it's one or nothing. So the competition's like crazy now.
All right. Chris, if anybody wants to reach out to you, how can they do that?
You can go to my website. It's localens.ai.
Local lens with a Z, right?
Yes. So localens with a Z and then just .ai. And then you can, all my contact information is right on the homepage. So you can get in touch with me there. That's the easiest. All righty.
Chris, thanks so much for talking to us and kind of just shedding some light into what's happening in this crazy AI world. You know, a lot of people I talk to, they're just so busy running their business, they don't even see what's going on around them. And with it changing so fast, now's the time that they need to start looking at this. Otherwise, it's true, they'll be left in the dust.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me, Stuart. I appreciate it.
You got it. We've been talking with Chris Gregson, the president, CEO, founder of Local Lens AI here in Long Beach, also president of the Chamber Small Business Council. Chris, thanks so much for talking. I'm sure we'll have you back on again in the very near future, and it's going to be a whole nother ball game by that time, right?
All right. I look forward to it. Thank you, Stuart. Cool.
Thank you, guys. And thanks for tuning into this episode of The Catalyst, and we'll see you guys in the next episode. Thanks, guys. We'll see you.